I think that for all of us, it's been a long, dark winter. And sure, summertime in Southwest Michigan is, I mean, it's one of the best places to be in America.
My name's Johnny Reinhardt, and I've lived in Southwest Michigan most of my life. It's such a wonderful community full of so many great things, but the best part is the people, families, history, and especially the stories that make it great. And with every story, you have to start somewhere. This is Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Welcome to episode 11, and today I'm talking with Steve Koich, and he is somebody that I find pretty cool after having a conversation with him. I met him through a friend, but I think after all said and done, after our conversation, I think we became best friends. I'm not sure. You have to be the judge on that one, but he's more than just a sweater guy. And what I mean about sweaters is that he has had a business right here in Southwest Michigan that is being seen around the world, and that is Men's League Sweaters. So we'll talk about that and a whole bunch of other stuff and why he decided to call Southwest Michigan home. So we'll get to all of that today and find out for sure if we became best friends. But first, let's start from the beginning. Steve, how you doing, man? You know, this is our first in-person, not in-person meeting. I guess first face-to-face.
Yeah.
This is my first a friend through a friend conversation. Most people I've talked to so far are people that either I've known for a while or know of, but you are my first So it's sort of that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon sort of situation, yeah, but there's only a couple degrees. But nice to meet you. I'm excited to learn more about you. And, you know, you're one of those people in Southwest Michigan that some of my friends have said, well, you got to talk to this guy. So I hope you live up to that reputation. But it sounds like just from what I'm hearing from other people that you certainly do. But I do want to start out with, first, I do know your name. Your name is Steve. Where'd you come from, Steve?
Well, Johnny, I came from Chelsea, Michigan.
Okay.
And before I get into that, though, I do want to say thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. You know, I feel like I'm talking to my radio right now, so it's a bit of a mind-blowing experience. But yeah, this is cool.
That's great.
So yeah, came from Chelsea, Michigan. And my wife is originally from St. Joe.
Okay.
And so after living a couple of years in Chicago together, we kind of put down some roots here, and it's been great. That was what, 2014, 2015?
2014, 2015. So Chelsea, Michigan, remind me, and for people that are on that know Michigan, show me on the hand where, for people that don't know where Chelsea, Michigan is, where it is.
Just past that bottom middle crack towards the thumb.
Towards the middle?
It's by down.
Over here somewhere?
It's by Ann Arbor. If Ann Arbor had suburbs, Chelsea would be kind of a suburb of Ann Arbor. 159 on I-94.
Perfect. So what was it like growing up in Chelsea, Michigan?
Really similar to what I imagine it was like in St. Joe. Similar size town. Similar type of community. We just didn't have the lake, but we did have Ann Arbor and the University of Michigan to go run around on campus and see what was going on, get in trouble, that kind of thing.
Now, you went to the local high school there. Are you, from what I hear, you're a sports fan.
I'm a sports fan. Yeah.
So, mainly hockey from what I hear, but what was it like growing up? Did you play all kinds of different sports to try them out? Or did you realize that there was a certain one that this is my thing?
Well, I did play all the sports growing up besides basketball.
Yeah.
My buddies will tell you that's not my forte. But yeah, I played soccer, baseball, football. But hockey was my bread and butter, and you know, played on kind of a couple of travel teams out on the east side of the state, and that is something that I still enjoy doing, although less traveling. But but yeah, still play once a week in the men's league, and that's my thing.
was hockey a big thing in Chelsea in that area? Because, you know, you said it's kind of like growing up here in St. Joe, but hockey, I think for this area seems to be on the infant stage of things are starting to really pick up. Now we're really starting to get people and kids starting to play a sport like hockey, which I wish, being, you know, a short guy that is somewhat has some good hand-eye coordination, but I never learned how to skate. So I always thought, oh, well, I could do like a floor hockey or something like that. But what was the sport of hockey like on the other side? Because being closer to Canada, being closer to Ann Arbor, where Michigan has always had a pretty solid hockey program, was that more of the sport over on the other side of the state?
Well, it's actually funny. The way that things were happening at the time in Chelsea was really similar to where things are at right now in St. Joe.
Yeah.
Where we were in a bit of a Bermuda Triangle dead zone in terms of hockey, where there were rinks a half an hour east, a half an hour west, but nothing really right around us. And none of the local high schools had teams yet. You know, maybe there was a kind of a union club team similar to what LSJ has. And they raised the funds, they built this rink, and it's really been a, I don't know, cornerstone, to use a buzz term, of the community. And now there are, I think, five local high schools that have varsity teams that skate out at that rink. And it's a big thing. It's a big community draw. And so I told that story, I guess, at the town hall meeting when they were considering and weighing their options for the rink here in St. Joe Stevensville over on Glenlord. And I don't know, it's funny to kind of see that develop, and hopefully I'm sure that's going in that direction, but there's a lot of people that are in your situation where, like, man, hockey's actually a really cool thing.
Yeah.
And hopefully more kids can get involved, because now that's here. And, you know, it was really similar because Grand Rapids has a lot of hockey. South Bend has a lot of hockey. Chicago has a lot of hockey, but here we are in that kind of triangle type of dead zone. And so anyways, back to Chelsea, it was just sort of coming up in our town. And some of my buddies played on the high school team as it was just kind of developing and blossoming, and they had a great experience, and yeah, so that's kind of how it was in Chelsea when I was growing up.
Yeah, and then obviously being closer to Detroit and the Red Wings and their, you know, obviously their success, and everybody wants to be a Red Wing in the state of Michigan. But let me ask you this before we really continue: you know, you spent some time in Chicago, and you spent some time in growing up in that other side. What team are you a fan of, Blackhawks or Red Wings?
No question. Red Wings for sure.
Red Wings for life.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, and that's the great part about is hockey is such a fun sport to watch. And it's one that I feel like you can pick up at any age. The you know, everything of watching, you know, Mighty Ducks or anything like that when I was growing up, I was like, I think I could do that. But I still feel like getting out on the ice for the first time, actually, just I think last year, I was like, you know, as I was growing up, I was like, you know what? I could play hockey. All I need to do is learn how to skate. But then I got on the ice and I was like, all right, my skill level is way below where it needs to be. And little kids are skating all around me. Do you feel like anybody can just pick up and play something like hockey?
Yeah, I do. And so I feel really strongly about this. I think for me, the reason that hockey is so cool is that you can start late and you can go way deep into it. Right. You can go down the rabbit hole. And as soon as you're in and you learn to skate and you learn a few fundamentals, there's a whole community that is built around that I mean, in every town in America, North America, you know, obviously Canada has a ton, but say here in St. Joe, you can sign up for what they call bad hockey. beginner adult development hockey. No.
Okay.
No, that's not the Federal Hockey League. Okay. Slapshot, Reggie Dunlop. But so for example, you can sign up there. Okay. It's everybody there is just like you, hasn't played hockey before. So sure. It's kind of a quote unquote safe space. Like you're not going out with people that are former pros and things like that.
Sure.
You know, everybody's in the same boat as you and having a good time. You know, that they outfit you with gear. It's really accessible. Hang out, have a beer afterwards, or, you know, you meet a bunch of people. And then after you graduate that, say you can pass, shoot, skate, you know, stop. That's important.
Yeah, that's something I haven't picked that up. It's not even the stopping part. It's the going and staying upward, you know, staying vertical as much as I can instead of being on the ground. That's the tough part.
That is important too. So after you do that, though, then you graduate and you make it into the, I think it's the D league or C league, the lowest level, and you're in the league and you've got a team and it's this big community. You know, they redraft teams every year. They skate year round. It's this whole sort of new community built around being active and playing hockey, having a good time with other adults that are in the same boat as you. I think it's just a really unique thing that, I don't know. I feel like people don't necessarily think of it when they think of things to do as an adult, you know, it's really different. I mean, you can get into golf and you can get into a men's basketball league or a women's basketball league or a co-ed league at the YMCA, but it's not quite the same thing in terms of, I guess, the immersion and the community around that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, that's the thing, even when you're a kid too, is, you know, it's usually the soccer, baseball, maybe the peewee football. I mean, I grew up playing soccer since I was like 3 years old, and that was ingrained in my genetics of, you got to play soccer. That's a sport. But then, you know, you branch off into the baseball and the basketball, but hockey is something that I think hopefully gets to that certain point where most people think of, oh, well, how about this? How about this? And how about that? I mean, because we watch hockey and all these different sports and have those dreams of doing something, whether it's being, and you see the longevity too of these people. I mean, yeah, you can play soccer for as long as you can run up and down the field, but I feel like hockey is something just like that, that you can keep playing, especially as a fun leisurely kind of activity with people, as long as it's not super, super competitive to the point of you can't, you know, handle it. But I hope it gets to that point here in Southwest Michigan.
Yeah. And I think it will. I think it's actually there. I mean, what people don't think of when they think of hockey is the longevity and the lifetime enjoyment aspect of it, I guess. I know that I'm kind of on a soapbox now, but, you know, I warned you, but, you know, people think of long-term longevity sports and they think of golf or tennis or things like that. But with hockey, it's a team sport that you can play until you're 75.
Yeah.
Or more or older. And unlike football, baseball, they're not over when you turn 19 for 99% of people, unless you play college baseball. And then after, okay, now you're 22 and it's really hard to find a hardball league. You know, softball is a far cry from baseball, and football, flag football, is a far cry even further from what you played in high school.
Yeah.
But, you know, playing hockey, just removing the contact out of it, which is for the most part what people do after, you know, they play at a high level or just grow up and turn 25. It doesn't change the game that much. Just the true kind of essence. You're still pass, shoot, score, all that.
Now, did you fall in love with hockey because you were good at it or because of where you lived, or was it just from just your love of that team aspect because you're passionate about it, but, or were you good at it? Like, what made you say hockey? Yeah. I love hockey. Hockey for life. Because I mean, I'm that way with football and baseball, but it's a combination of I was okay at it, but I also love. I'm a Chicago fan, so my Bears and my Cubs for life. Nothing's going to change my love for those, but that appreciation too of having played those sports are another reason why I'm like, yep, those are my thing. So what made hockey your passion?
I guess I was pretty good at it, especially when I was younger. Yeah. you were kind of one of the only, people that were picking it up quickly. And that's kind of sure. The case across the board, and especially with hockey, because if you can learn to skate, then you have a leg up, because yeah. The mode of transportation is foreign to most people. I got started really young. I got started at like 4 years old. My dad had played hockey his whole life, and that made it easy. Easy to fall in love with it, that is. And then, you know, just continuing to play, doing pretty well. I wasn't by any means, an all-star on every team I played on, but I was good enough to enjoy it, and really, really liked the team aspect. And I think hockey, you get this in any sport, but, you know, going to tournaments and aging up with the same group of yeah. players and parents is, I think, a special thing that a lot of people enjoy. And certainly myself.
Yeah, you certainly get that, especially even around here with soccer and
yeah.
basketball, some basketball leagues of doing that, and then high school sports. But you've turned that passion into a business that we'll talk about in a minute. But like I said at the beginning, is that we have met through a series of friends, and my friend Ryan has said that I need to have you talk about something that is interesting. And just from what he says, I need to talk to you about is you took an RV to either Canada or New York for some big outdoor hockey event. What is this story about?
Okay. So this story is our trip, and I wish it was New York, because that would have been closer. And I wish it was Canada, because that would have been closer, but this was to New Hampshire.
Okay.
New Hampshire. And so this was on Google Maps, 14 hours, but not in an RV through the snow. When you have to reroute to swing through Boston to pick up two more bodies. So this was lengthy. It was a leave at dawn, get there at 4 a.m. type of day. And we were heading to the Barstool Pond Hockey Tournament. And we ended up partnering with Barstool for this big pond hockey event. It was in Lake Winnipesaukee, New Hampshire.
Say that five times fast.
Exactly. Exactly. So Barstool was throwing this event. They had heard of us. We kind of had some mutual friends. They reached out and they were looking for jerseys, and we were all over it. We're, big fans of their hockey podcast, especially. And I mean, that's kind of the biggest thing in hockey in terms of media right now. And so we jammed quite a bit on designs and got linked up with their team. This was all coming together in like a matter of months, usually like 2 months. Mm-hmm. Usually this is like a 6-7 month process to plan this out and, bring in vendors and do all this stuff. They were making it happen kind of late to the game. Right. And so we were hustling. It was everybody on deck. We had already, things on back order and just kind of making it happen. Right. So anyways, we show up in New Hampshire, and it's 4 a.m. It's the day before the tournament. And, we wake up, we enjoy the day. They're finishing setting up. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's thousands of people there from all over the U.S. This was like the hottest ticket in hockey, because they have the hottest podcast in hockey. There's, hundreds of thousands of people that listen to every episode.
Sure.
And so we end up getting a ticket or a team entered just because of our relationship with making the jerseys, right? And so people are starting to come in, and it's a ton of people, right? And so they have the welcome party the night before, and it's all of, you know, I guess it's the Barstool personalities are there.
Sure.
You know, so they're shaking hands and kissing babies, and everybody is checking in and starting to hand out the jerseys. And so this is kind of our big moment.
Like, yeah.
That's your shaking hands
and kissing babies kind of moment, having exactly. that in their hands. Yeah,
exactly. And so we don't know how it's going to go. We're like, okay, you know, hopefully everything is fitting everyone. Hopefully everybody's receptive to the design, that kind of thing. And it couldn't have gone better. People were losing their minds. They're opening them. They're laughing. They're having a great time. They're wearing them all over this bar/ mm-hmm. banquet area, having a great time. And these guys are all, like, you know, for the most part, New England wild animals.
Sure.
And so that was a long night, a very fun night. And then the next day was the event, but it was really, really something to see thousands of our jerseys, our product, mm-hmm. All over the ice and people enjoying them. And, I don't know, that was the first time that really kind of hit home and sunk in for us.
And is that the moment that clicked that you're, I mean, cause how did they notice you? Did they notice you because you were the Men's League sweaters, your business, how that was starting to be successful? Or was there another tipping point that you realized, hey, we're not just making these for our buddies or, you know, our local hockey leagues or things like that, or even the local high schools. What made it click that this is something? Because everybody in a business has that tipping point moment of, oh, all right, this is actually successful, not just because we made some money that we can put in the bank. No, it's just you're getting noticed and people are enjoying the product. So was it that moment, or was there a moment that we rewind to?
That was definitely a tipping point. I mean, we had been around already for a couple of years,
yeah.
and, you know, made plenty of sales to all over the US and Canada and some in Australia and New Zealand. And I guess for anyone listening, I should back up and say what we are. We are Men's League sweaters, and we make custom hockey jerseys and other gear for mm-hmm. hockey teams, especially yeah. adult recreational teams. And so we had been around a bit. We had been, you know, doing our best to market. We had sponsored a couple ads on their Spit and Chicklets hockey podcast, the Barstool Hockey podcast. Yeah. And so things were going well, but the thing about our business is it's really e-commerce. So we don't have a lot of face-to-face mm-hmm. Interaction, and certainly nothing like that immersion where we kind of get a lot of instant feedback.
Sure.
And so there was just a lot happening at once where, you know, we were meeting Eric and Arvin, the Barstool CEO. We were meeting Paul Bissonnette, one of the most famous hockey personalities there is in the world right now. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Whitney and Rad and all of these different Barstool personalities at once who are giving us positive feedback. And then, you know, 1,000 players giving us positive feedback. It was really kind of a cool tipping point type of moment for us. And it was a great time too.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so you say us, and so you teamed up with some of your friends to start this. What was the moment in the garage, or you know, when you're having some beers with your buddies, what was that moment that says, hey, you know what we should do? We should make, instead of buying these jerseys, because I've not heard of many custom jersey companies, like even for many different sports, you try to go and find something, and you know, it's something as simple as, well, it'd be great if I just had a Cubs jersey that I could put my name on the back. But what made you decide that we could start something and this could be cool, not just for men's leagues, but honestly, I'd walk around with a custom made, hockey sweater with whatever I had on it, my podcast name or something like that.
Beginning, baby.
Yeah. What made you decide that we should just make these?
That's a good question. I was working a regular normal job, right? With a little bit of digital marketing experience, sure. A little bit of web design experience, and really just had noticed that there wasn't this thing that I wanted to exist. And so to an extent it was scratching my own itch. And to an extent it was wanting to have a business. Mm-hmm. I just, especially at that point in my career, I just found myself looking around and seeing other people that were able to pull that off.
Sure.
And I mean, that's always been something that's appealed to me, be it e-commerce or even if you have a service business, a paving business, just something to kind of call your own and grow and manage. I was really drawn to that. And so I guess those kind of three things, contributed to that, but it wasn't really like a major launch or anything like that. It was propping up a website and putting it up in front of a couple of people, after, you know, sourcing some product and just kind of trying it out and iterating. You know, it wasn't something by any means that was polished, to begin with. It was just, hey, let's put this out there and see if people dig it.
Yeah.
Cause we certainly do.
Sure.
And, you know, I remember conversations with friends, with hockey people that know the culture and the market or what have you, and saying, them telling me just straight up like, hey, I don't think that that's really something that people will pay for. I don't think that there's enough players that are doing that.
Yeah.
And I guess you have to find out, you know, and there's only one way to do that.
Absolutely.
And so now here we are, we're 5 years later. You know, we've outfitted 75,000 plus players in 8 countries, and we're kind of rocking and rolling and loving every minute of it.
And so you live in St. Joe. And so I'm sure there's people that are listening that live in St. Joe. They're like, wait, there's a guy that does this in St. Joe? Like, I could have my own if I wanted to, or do this. So why did you choose to live in St. Joe and instead of like having, say, you know, an office in a big city or somewhere, or even, you know, on the other side of the state near Hockey Town, you know, why St. Joe?
Well, my wife's from here.
Yeah.
And it's a great place by the lake.
Absolutely.
And the internet goes everywhere. It goes just as easily to St. Joe as it does to Detroit or Chicago or, you know, any place in between.
Now, were you married when you started this business? Or
I was not yet.
Okay. Was she your girlfriend at the time or fiance? Because did she try to tell you, hey, because you said you left a job, a regular job that's probably paying the bills, and you decided to do something like this. Did she say this is a good idea or try to steer you away at any point?
Well, I think we both wanted to mitigate the risk, so to speak. But it's something. I mean, I don't know. E-commerce is a kind of a crazy enough thing to where there's not a ton of risk there. There's not a ton of initial investment to prop up the website and kind of get some ads rolling, and see where that takes you.
Sure.
You know, it wasn't a brick and mortar business that required buying a pizza oven and, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of things to invest in. It was, a free website that mm-hmm. I built on Weebly. And so it was years and years that I was kind of doing it on the side, not years yeah. and years. That's aggressive.
Sure. But
it was, I think 3 years, working on it on the side, bringing a couple other friends in to help. And that was, I think 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago that, I almost needed to take it full time mm-hmm. to where my day job was getting in the way of my, of my fun job. So.
Well, and that's the best part is that it became a side hustle, and it was a calculated risk, not something yeah. that was, hey, we've got to have this conversation because I need to put my entire life savings. And that's what's hard was anytime somebody's starting a business is you don't want to always go all in with everything. And you had the tools in order to do it. And it was something that try it out, see how it works. And then it's taken off and doing something really cool. What's your dream, men's league sweater that you would either want to make, or is there one that you'd love to see somebody wearing, like either a professional hockey player or a celebrity or somebody like that? Is there somebody that you would love to have your product on?
Aside from start from the beginning.
Hey, I'm gonna hold you to this because this is recorded, so yeah, this can happen.
Right.
I'm already starting
right.
to come up with designs.
That's a verbal contract. That's
yeah.
Well, I would love to I'm thinking big here, but okay. would love to see one of our jerseys up at Watermark.
Okay.
That's sort of a something we've been working on, soft sell, but hopefully they're listening.
I can help with convincing. I can help mm-hmm. with convincing for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mm-hmm. good at that.
That and so no, I mean really, that's actually my answer because we do a lot that's sort of online and in faraway places, but having it in the community mm-hmm. is something that we're still. Enjoying.
Yeah.
We outfit the local league here, but mm-hmm. that's fun. But just kind of seeing things around. North Pier has done a couple runs of creative jerseys to just promote different beers, things like mm-hmm. that. And it still is. It's just a nice. It's a thing to see that.
Yeah.
Is I don't know it's positive it's kind of affirming it's mm-hmm. it's just it's cool to have it in your local brewery and see that I don't know
no I think that's
does that make sense like it's more tangible than
wasn't the answer I was expecting but I think it's the answer that gives me a better picture the best picture of you and from this conversation it has been one of those where you think about how is that affecting people that were just like you growing up? You're a small town kid that wanted to do something fun, wanted to completely grow as a person, but also in the community. And then you found some place that you love. And honestly, I'm the same way. I'd want to be able to see something and see it where I'm usually at. You're not every day going to be at the United Center or the Little Caesars Arena every day looking up and seeing your jerseys somewhere or anything that you do. You want to see it where you're going to hang out and enjoy it, but also people in the community are gonna be like, oh yeah, that's my friend, I know him. So that's really great. And so I love that. What's the best advice you ever got about whether this business or just as you were growing up that kind of led you to where you are today?
I would say the best advice I got was to read The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss.
Ah.
And Shoe Dog by Phil Knight and Made to Stick. What's that? The Heath Brothers.
Okay.
Honestly, like those were that was the best advice in terms of business wise, mm-hmm. you know, or just like trying to figure things out and connect those dots to yep. make an idea happen.
Absolutely. I like that. What about if you were writing a book? Because, you know, you're getting great advice about either business or life.
No.
And those, if you were to write a book, what would you call it?
I have a lot to learn before I start giving people advice. That's for sure. You know, maybe one day when it's all said and done, but I don't know about that yet.
I love it. Well, I'm enjoying my conversation with you. But what is where are you going from here? What's the next step for you? You know, not just your business, but you and your wife and here in this community. What do you guys see happening next?
Well, I guess I should. Lisa is my wife, and the next thing is personally summertime. I mean, I think that for all of us, it's been a long, dark winter, and sure. summertime in Southwest Michigan is, I mean, it's one of the best places to be in America. And so, I mean, it sounds weird to say that I'm just looking forward to summertime, but really, like, you know, mailing it in on a Friday afternoon and going to the beach instead is something that's pretty special, you know?
Absolutely.
What about Tascornia Beach on a September Friday afternoon,
yep,
2 p.m. It's pretty hard to beat, right?
Absolutely. What about products? I mean, you're thinking summer. What are there any summer products that are offshoots? Because that's the thing, is many businesses, you know, they have their things that they're doing, but you have little offshoots of different products. So are there any random product ideas that maybe you have come up with to maybe be a more of a year-round type product that people think about?
That's a good question. The only kind of new thing that we have going on that's pretty big for us is actually a new brand that okay. is geared more towards, I guess you could call it, serious hockey. You know, youth hockey,
sure,
high school hockey, college hockey, junior hockey. It's called Rockwell Hockey, mm-hmm. and it's everything that we've learned from doing men's league sweaters and doing it for more competitive, you know, less sure. beer, more getting after it in a serious way. So it's on ice stuff, it's training gear, it's travel gear. Think track suits and winter coats and duffel bags and hockey bags, and also your jerseys and uniforms and things like that. So that's something that in the summertime, in the warmer months, we're going to be really rolling out, because that's kind of the buying season. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of the next foray for us.
Yeah. I was even thinking, you know, that leisure home work from home wear or something like that.
Yeah,
the men's league sweater. Yeah. You have that hanging around with your buddies, just wearing a, you know, a hockey sweater. And then, yeah, like you said, that competitive aspect, the jersey is going to be possibly different. But I'm thinking work from home leisure wear. Sign me up for
that.
I think that.
Yeah, we should have been on that from from the whole pandemic. That would have been perfect.
We should have had this conversation a long time ago, Steve. But I look forward to more conversations with you in the future. And I'm glad that we finally have met. And we have met through friends, but I think in this half hour, we have now become friends.
That's beautiful, Johnny.
Does that sound like
her?
Can we handshake on that one?
Yes, right. We can.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again soon, Steve.
Hey, thanks, Johnny.
Thank you for listening to Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Special thanks to our guests for telling their stories. And if you have a story to tell, I'd love to hear more. Please reach out to me by emailing letstalk@wsjm.com. That's letstalk@wsjm.com. You can listen to this podcast and all the episodes wherever you like to listen to podcasts, and be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. This is a Midwest Family production. I'm Johnny Reinhart. Join me next time for another great story on Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan.